Welcome to Side Hustle City, and thanks for joining us. Our goal is to help you connect to real people who found success turning their side hustle into a main hustle, and we hope you can too. I'm Adam Kaler. I'm joined by Kyle Stevie, my co-host. Let's get started. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Side Hustle City podcast. Once again, we have an awesome guest for you, this time in the HR space, Keith Good. How you doing, Keith?
Adam, great. Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming in all the way from like the north of Baltimore area there. Explain where you're at.
Yeah, so kind of the Baltimore, Washington, Annapolis area is where I work. I do a lot of work with the federal government as well as private organizations. So Mid-Atlantic. Sometimes I say the Bay Area, the other Bay Area.
There you go. That's a good one.
Chesapeake Bay Area. Yep.
And you're with a company called Zeroed In, and it sounds like it's a software for HR kind of thing. And I think a lot of our side hustle people, you know, as they grow their business, you know, this is one of the things I ran into growing my businesses is eventually you're going to have to deal with people. I mean, you have to, if you're going to scale, you need more people. And you got to, you eventually get to the point where it's like, it can't just be you anymore. Software can only take you so far. As a solopreneur, eventually you need more bodies, but then you need software to manage those other bodies and data on top of that. And the best thing is to find a platform that can give you the proper data and also uses new technologies instead of something that's kind of tied into the past, some legacy piece of software that will it's so big and so tied into so many things, it's hard for them to change the technology. And a lot of times companies like yours can pivot and can be a little bit more flexible with what it's doing and you utilize some of these newer things that are coming out. So explain a little bit about what Zeroed In does.
Absolutely. So, you know, first question to you I have, Adam, is you talk to 99% of business owners. What are they going to say is their most valuable assets?
Well, they think them. That's what they think.
They're going to say,
it's people.
Well,
it's people.
It's the people. Yeah. Right? So, but do they manage and do they have the same information and methods to focus on their employees as they do other assets? Are they looking at getting and tracking and using advanced technologies to get the most value out of this, their most important assets? And what Zeroed In does is we help those clients, usually large, medium-sized to large organizations that have, you know, north of maybe 500 to 1,000 employees. We help them to identify and look at things about those employees and data about that employee that might be housed in all kinds of different systems. So HR by itself is notorious for multiple different platforms. You've got payroll systems, you've got HRIS systems, you've got learning management systems, you've got performance management systems, you've got ACS for candidate tracking systems, right? So I just named about five or six. And guess what? If you're best of breed, those systems typically don't talk to each other.
No.
Yes, you could go with a Workday or other types of platforms and they say they have everything, but then, you know, maybe not everything. Maybe you still want to have your candidates in a different system. So from an HR perspective, this information is siloed. It's all over the place. And by the way, all the systems are going to say, yes, we do analytics and we have analytics, but it's just going to be in that silo. What Zeroed In does is we help bridge that gap between those systems, bring that data together, aggregate it, correlate it, and provide it back to leaders, to managers, to the organization as a whole, so they can make better decisions about their most valuable assets, their people.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And you know what? A lot of the folks that I deal with that are side hustlers in the startup software space, and even myself, we had a platform called Vanda, me and two other co-founders. We were getting it going. And then one of the co-founders ended up having three kids in 3 years. And that kind of slowed things down a little bit. But the one cool thing is we were trying to connect, make it easier for people to go on, create a profile on our platform And essentially that would be their like resume. And the fields would match up directly with the fields that an employer would come in and say, hey, I'm looking for a web designer. I want them to have 3 years experience. I want them to do this. I want them to know HTML. I want them to know CSS. And the better all these fields match up, then the employer gets sent these profiles, and they get sent 10 profiles. They don't get sent 10,000 profiles, like some of these keyword matching systems, right? And that's one of the things we saw in HR software that really sucked, was that these hiring managers would just get way too many resumes. Most of them are unqualified. You get a stack of 1,000 of them, and the guy that's actually good is probably in the middle, and you're going to go through what, the top 10 maybe? And it's just, it's so inefficient. So we were trying to find an inefficient way to do that. And what you guys do is actually make, say, like my software better, because we had to talk to the ATS, and everybody uses a different ATS, an applicant tracking system. Yep. Talk a little bit about that. Talk a little about these applicant tracking systems and how they work. But HR in general is a mess. So guys, if you're out there listening to this podcast right now, there is always an opportunity to disrupt the HR space. And at one point, I think M&A was higher for startups in the HR space than any other business function. So there's available opportunities.
Absolutely. The applicant tracking systems and the candidate tracking systems, I mean, tons of them out there. You know, think if you're not aware of it, you think, you know, match.com, but for hiring people, right? And they do, there's some really great technology out there to skim across all that content and try to line the right people to the right opportunities. And that's great. And, you know, again, that's a fairly saturated business model out there. But where I would say that there's opportunity is for the next step, right? So your organization is spending thousands of dollars for the applicant tracking system, for measuring, you know, and getting people in and finding the best candidates and linking them to the best opportunity, right? Then what? You bring them on board, you give them a different employee ID, and now all that data that you just spent thousands of dollars on trying to find the right candidate, how are you going to correlate that back to the employee next year, 5 years from now? Was it a valuable hire? Not only that, can you take the history of that person and use that as a statistical model to say, who's the right type of hire to get them not just to fill that position, but maybe to for succession planning, so that you have people aligned 5, 10, 15 years now from now going into those types of positions. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot more to it. Like I said, I think there's a lot of saturation in that initial market, but I think there's tons of opportunity to aggregate, to trend, and to build statistical models on top of that that can add value.
And every time, I mean, technology moves so quickly. I think the key thing here is you guys identified an issue that people might not even know they have, right? They know they have it, but they're not aware enough to go out and like find something or build something. And the crazy thing is I own a digital ad agency, so people call us up with these problems that they want us to solve all the time. And it's like, oh, you know what we need help with? We need help connecting all these different systems together that we have and bringing it all together onto one dashboard. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. And then when I build it for them, I'm like, you guys know you could just like sell this. Like you could license this and sell this. This is a product. Like you're not the only company that has this. And why spend $100,000 or more with my company building this software? And just, it's going to help you, obviously, but why not license it? You know, and I think a lot of people that do that are people like the founder of Zeroed In. They see a problem and they you know, I can fix this. Let me do it.
That's right. So myself and our CEO, Chris Moore, we started working together back in the early 90s, and we've developed a learning management system, one of those silos in HR. And we found quickly that HR systems are data rich, but information poor. They're great about what they do, but across, you know, the employee across all those different silos, it was weak. So after that company was acquired, that's when we started Zeroed In. And the idea again is to take all that information and make it available, get the value. We don't do the transaction processing. We're not signing people up for learning. We're not you know, the applicant tracking system, we're not paying people, but we take those transactions and we aggregate those and we build statistical models over that and then present it back to the people that can make better decisions with that information. That's where the opportunity is.
Yeah, because I've got a client that actually Dynamic Works Institute. And what they do is they help people kind of get back into work, right? Some of their clients are people that have, you know, been locked up for a while and they need to figure out what's been going on the last 3 or 4 years in the work world. So they have a lot of training modules and training courses that help these people get back on their feet. And there's other people, older adults who want to get back into the workforce, et cetera, right? You can name a lot of different client groups that they work with. So a company like that, that's not what you guys are doing, but you would work with a company like DWI and you would get them up to speed. You'd say, hey, look at all this data you guys have here, but then look at all this data that your customer, because their customer are other companies, right? Mm-hmm. And even businesses that want to train their staff on new things in their whatever, in HR, say, for example, mm-hmm. Hey, we want to train you on a new piece of software we want to use. Go to DWI, take the course, boom. So there's companies, not just within a company. If you own a company, if you have a software company, your clients and you could be sharing valuable data together.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading Podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, from a technology perspective, the opportunities to move data around has been fantastic. You know, obviously there's open APIs out there, which help facilitate mostly on the transactional level. We use them sometimes for more aggregated data. But when you're working with organizations that have thousands of employees, those APIs are mostly for, hey, update this record. Tell me what this person's status is or whatever. When you need, send me 10,000 records for one day of all the people that have changed something about their employee record, then we typically look at the more traditional file formats as a great method to transfer that information. But again, opportunity with that, having, you know, that ETL, extract, transform, and load experience, there's always going to be need for that type of skill set as well.
Yeah. And then also visualizing the data. There's a lot of people that when they see that data come in, they see those spreadsheets, their eyes glaze over. They don't know what to do. They're looking at it for 3 hours trying to figure out what it all means. You know, there is something to be said about being able to build a business that can not just deliver this data, but also visualize it in a way that employees can actually pick up on what's happening and do that quickly so they're not wasting time. I mean, software is about efficiency, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a challenge out there. I mean, we're, you know, especially in the HR space, you know, we typically in the past have been working with people that are very hands-on or very great communicators. But when it comes to reading technical graphs and digging into data, maybe not their forte. So again, we have to look at that as an opportunity to say, how can we present this information better? And where there's unique opportunity there is with AI, artificial intelligence. And not, you know, you hear that all the time. Everybody's going to say, oh, we have AI. But let's get into it a little bit more on how it can be used to help solve a problem. And I think that's where we, you know, where you get the marketing fluff goes away and we start talking about how it can be used. And from a zero to in perspective, there's two aspects. It's about summarizing and explaining. So let's suppose we've got a dashboard for an executive that has 12 different measures, 20 different graphs on it, tables, the gamut. Well, we could throw that data to an AI generator or LLM, a large language model, and it can go and look at that data and just summarize what are these data, you know, hey, there's, they can look at, it could come back with trending. It could come back. We've noticed, you know, we could take the data and have it in multiple periods from, say, the year or year to date or month to month. And it can look across that data and then explain it, because the LLMs, they don't, they're not great at numeric calculations. Are really great at just understanding language. So you throw the data that already has the calculations done, it can look across the dimensions of that data and then help explain and summarize what that data means. And that's a great thing. So now the executive has a sum of that dashboard, a summarization of that dashboard. The other area that I think LLM and AI can help out with is then taking it a step further and drilling in and drilling on, say, a subset, a department, a job type. And then the AI or the AI, the LLM can say, you know, there's been differences between this job and this job. You may want to focus on this. And then providing that dashboard for the executive to then actually drill in and get those results, that's adding more value to something that's already been around.
That's right. That's right. And I think what we're saying here, and for a lot of people that are, you know, have a startup in mind, or maybe they're, you know, at a 9-to-5 job and they're just going in every day. They're not big fans of it. They want to do something. Cause one of the hardest things, and I mean, you, I'm sure you understand this, Keith. One of the hardest things is, as an entrepreneur, having that mindset, having that desire to be an entrepreneur, working a 9-to-5 job is painful, and going in and taking orders from someone else when you really want to be the boss, right? It's so tough. But the way to get out of that is to do something like what you guys did. Identify something. Pay attention. Don't just go into a company. And if you hate the company, that's probably an even bigger identifier, the fact that they need to do something better. So if you're in HR, you take a look at this, take this into the boss, say, look, this is something that, you know, can make our company better, make our lives better. And maybe that makes your job better until you can figure out what in the heck you want to do. Maybe you identify some other problems and there isn't a zeroed in that you can recommend. So then you end up going out and you make something, you fix it, right?
Right, right. You know what? And even in large organizations, the entrepreneurial spirit can be so powerful. I've worked in large companies and zeroed in. We're a small company, and that's wonderful. I love it. It has its own challenges at times, but I've worked in large organizations as well. And even in large organizations, if you can come up with a model, if you can say, hey, I think there's value here, I think there's something behind it, I don't know a single manager that would say, yeah, I don't want to look at that. You know, I think every smart manager would say, yeah, like, let's explain, let's look at what the value is. And so entrepreneurs can exist everywhere. And I would say sometimes even in an organization, that could be just as important, just as valuable for a career growth.
Yeah. Use your time there to do something entrepreneurial, or use your entrepreneurial mind. If this was your business, what would you do? Like, would you just come into work every day, sit down and just do a thing? Or would you constantly be trying to improve your processes, get more data, analyze that data, and make the company more streamlined? That's what you would do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. And I'd listen to podcasts like this to help motivate me to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of your responsibility as an employee, especially, you know, in America. I mean, the auto industry. Let's look at how Japan, you know, ate our lunch during the 80s. I mean, it was because they had a kind of bottom up managerial kind of strategy, or a troubleshooting kind of strategy. Somebody on the line sees stuff every day that the person above them does not see. So they made it to where you could go up the ladder and say stuff. Yeah. Where in America, it wasn't like that. You know, the CEO thinks he knows everything, but he's not on the line every day building cars, putting things together, creating more efficient operations. And that's what the Japanese did. And that's why they were able to charge less for vehicles. And, you know, in the 80s, they just built better, more efficient, cheaper vehicles that lasted longer than we did here in the United States. So you're in that same situation at a company, yep. But pay attention to the way the company is managed. Pay attention to the way things are done. If they're not open to changing the way they do things, being more efficient. That probably isn't the type of place you want to be, but figure out what they're doing wrong, where there's opportunity, and go start a company doing that. I mean, that's essentially what you guys did.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we did. We saw that weakness in the marketplace and we tried to capitalize on it. And, you know, I've been in the with HR data for many years, going back into the early 90s. And, you know, I can remember in the 2000s and, you know, a lot of jobs being taken over to India. We still see that now, even technology jobs, right? And I always said, well, okay, you know, it's a market decision. And it is. But where it's not a market decision is America's ability and their workforce ability to be creative. You look at the workforces around the world, and China being a fantastic, great workforce, they can throw bodies at it. But can they bring the level of creativity?
No.
That's, I think, what we have to focus from a value perspective moving forward on.
Yeah, the U.S. is definitely, people here are taught to be more creative. They're encouraged to be creative. They're encouraged to think outside the box. We definitely have the entrepreneurial mindset here. Actually, it wasn't too long ago, I watched a show on the education system here and how versus China, and how China, yes, they are beating us in the sciences and the math and things like that, but they're essentially robots. They're trained to be robots. And we're not like that here. We're trained to question the system. We're trained to, and this goes back to what we were just talking about. You question why you're doing things the way you are in your HR department, if that's your job, or whatever department you're in, question why things are done the way they are, why your job is so hard to do, because it probably shouldn't be that hard to do. There's probably a solution out there with all the softwares and everything else out there. There's got to be something out there. And I mean, you guys, as you know, these entrepreneurs, going from, you know, and I in going from an unknown software company to somebody who now works with government, works with bigger companies, you know, that's a big transition, being able to go from an unknown into at least your first customer that can get you credibility. Talk about that path with Zeroed In. How'd that work?
Well, that's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up. It really comes down to those initial opportunities and being able to successfully capitalize on them and fulfill those. And once you have that success, it can breed other success along the way. Yes, there's going to be failures in there as well, but it's, you know, we identified and worked with people, made them successful. They moved to other roles, bring you back into it. So there's a lot of that goes on too, which is fantastic. Relationships, keeping those relationships strong. And again, making sure that what you're delivering is adding that value.
Yeah. And I'm looking through some of your stuff now too. I mean, these dashboards that you guys have, I mean, that's added value right there. That's giving you the opportunity. That's like, it's helping your startup to get less phone calls about like, hey, what do I do here? What do I do there? Because you've already built it in.
Yeah. And what's great about those that you know, they're fantastic, great dashboards that look good. But what's interesting about that is we've built a platform that is configurable, not customizable, but configurable. What that means is that all those dashboards, the data behind it, we describe in metadata, which is data about data, and then aggregate that information, store that into our data cubes. And it could be anything. It could be HR related. That's where our business background is. We've had companies come to us and say, you know, they do power generation. They say, we really like what you're doing with your dashboards. Could you do it for recording how much power generation? We're like, absolutely. Yeah. Because it's just metadata, data about data. And once we define that, we can then push it into the cubes and then have it displayed on dashboards that are also configurable. People can identify what types of graphs to display, how to slice it, how to dice it, and there's security behind it. So you and I could be looking at the same dashboard, but you have managerial responsibility from one organization, I have the other, and the system's going to know that and only display the information that you're entitled to view. So that's an important concept. Obviously, a lot of this could be done in tools like Power BI and Tableau, but then you're talking about organizations that their business might be HR, their business might be something else. They have to get expertise to come in and develop that, then to maintain it. And if that person leaves, who's going to maintain it? Who's going to update it? You know, and so having a platform that can do that gives a stronger viability and framework platform for the client.
But again, some companies are going to, they're going to try to do that. They're going to hire a software development company. They're going to hire a, you know, a freelance Tableau expert or whatever. And they're going to say, oh, come in. We've got this unique problem that we need to solve. And guess what? It's probably not that unique to you. It's probably something that a lot of companies are dealing with. And you got a bunch of people out there spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to create this solution. By the time they get done with it, it may even be outdated. I mean, it's, you know, it could take years for some of these companies to get this stuff done because they put things on the back burner. But, you know, why not go out there, get something out of the box that already has all the tools and everything available to it. And what I like about this, you know, I'm a user experience designer. So I always think about all the things we could put in there. And all the times clients are like, dump all this in there, put all this. You got to talk them off a cliff sometimes because they want everything to be on one screen. They want everything to be, but you've broken this up pretty well. Like the way you guys built this out, you've got like a workforce overview. You've got your turnover screen. You've got a compensation screen, talent acquisition screen, talent learning performance, and like the talent acquisition. So like for what we were doing with our startup, you got your open requisitions, candidates, hiring stages, hiring sources, fill rates, all kind of on that one screen that everybody could take a look at and make decisions based on that stuff.
Yeah. And then on that same screen, we could pull in information about, you know, data from those people from 3 years ago that are, is now in their HRS system. So it can bring in data from multiple different sources, even though you're looking at, say, talent acquisition. There's no reason that could stop us to compare number of candidates to number of hires and number of employees in a given job today. And that data is coming coming from the ATS, the others coming from their HRS system. No problem. We have a common platform.
How many ATSs do you guys work with? Because when we were doing our startup, we had, I don't know, it was like four or five of the popular ones or whatever that people used. I mean, how many have you encountered? Do we even know how many are out there?
No, we can keep popping up. But, you know, the good thing from our perspective is the data is, yes, it's one system versus another, but the domain of that information is similar. You know, you're looking at obviously candidates and their information, experience, you're looking at past history, you're looking at everything from, don't forget, you know, drug testing that comes in there too.
Yeah.
So the domain of the knowledge or domain of the data is very similar. It's just going to be possibly broken into multiple different tables from the different sources. But I think being able to understand the domain helps you then figure out, okay, how does this ATS versus this one handle that data? And once you understand the domain, you can pull it together.
And
does
so
that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And you guys were like, hey, look, there's a bunch of companies out here that would have to build this thing. They're all going to probably build it in a different way. They're probably not all going to think as deeply about it as you because you're building this specifically as a product to help people. It has to work. You've got to think about all the different nooks and crannies and the way it's going to be used. And they could go out and spend so much money building something like this when there's stuff that's already here. And this is what I'm trying to tell people that listen to this podcast is there are opportunities in your company right now to build something like this, or at least introduce a solution like this and then use it, learn from it, because it's not just the HR stuff that's out there. That's probably a mess. It's probably a bunch of stuff. And if you're not a user experience expert, you know, if you haven't done, you know, websites and software for, you know, 20 years by using this stuff, think about how it's used. Think about how it's built. Think about how it's been designed. If you want to go out and you want to start your own software product, or just make it better for your company, somehow, or maybe you're leading a project. Maybe they do want to start up something like this, call a software development company and build something. You know what you need. You know what is available because you've used something that actually works in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. And this might resonate with you and I'd love to get your take on it. So we kind of see in the marketplace kind of three avenues. You've got the black boxes, right? The, you know, give us the data in this format and we'll give you this. And you have no idea how they're calculating it. You have no idea where it's coming from. Well, you know where it's coming from. You're giving the data, but you're not sure if it's, you know, the calculations that are going into it. Got its values, you know, there might be certain price points to that. Then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the no box, right? Where you're going to hire an ETL person, you're going to hire a developer, say on Tableau or be a platform development. You're going to hire a data analyst and you're going to hire a business. So four people at, you know, 100,000, so that's 400,000 a year, right? So why not something in the middle, which what I would say we are kind of that clear box, right? Where it's a platform, but it brings in the data, but allows you to then configure your measurements based off of how you need them to be calculated. And then your organizational structure. So it's that middle ground between those two extremes.
That's right. Well, data is so important nowadays for every organization, being able to tap into data, being able to access it in a way that makes sense, that people are going to be able to see and say, hey, I get it. I'm going to take action based on this data that I'm seeing. And now you've got AI. How do we incorporate? And you talked about it. How do we incorporate AI into this? Every piece of software nowadays seems like it needs some kind of AI thing involved in it. Now, you guys, I mean, you're obviously staying up on technology and incorporating that into your platform. How did you guys get this off the ground? Was this something that you had to go out and raise money for? Was it something that was self-funded? Like, how did that work to get this going? Because this is a lot. You guys have a lot in here.
Yeah, right. Again, it started with understanding that need. And we're bootstrapped. We're bootstrap development. We came in and grew at the speed of new client we could get. And that was up until about 3 years ago, where we finally took on some private equity funding. So for probably 12, 13, 14 years, we were self-funded, privately held, and we grew at the speed of get one client, make them happy, stay with them, keep them going, get another client. And, you know, we grew up in the dot-com era. You know, we had a software company back then, a learning management system, and we saw the dot-com. We saw the people, you know, cashing out on that VC funded. And, you know, we also, you know, lost in that. We, you know, at the when that bubble burst, it burst. So we're very conservative in our growth, growing at the speed that we can add value. And it works up until a point. In today's world, you kind of need to have that big capital behind you if you want to go big. And so that's kind of our story.
Yeah, that's, and guys, like, if you're listening to what he's saying here, this is the perfect type of company to invest in. If you're an investor, you want to find a company that has grown on its own through customers, right? Through actually having paid customers, not selling vaporware. You know, you've got a product that you were able to build, bootstrap and build on your own. So as an investor, I'm not investing in the development of the product and the early sales. I'm getting in when you've already done all that stuff. And then, you know, you guys, I mean, this thing's been around a while now too. So as a, you know, private equity, I'm not looking for the 100x growth. I'm looking, you know, maybe to triple my money, quadruple my money a little bit. So I feel safe going in, investing in a management team that has proven that they could build a business, a sustainable business, and there is a need out for it. And then on top of that, you're adapting to technology.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Are you sure we haven't worked together for the last 5 years?
Don't worry. I've seen enough company pitches. I've been in enough VC rooms looking at pitches. So, yeah, I mean, and it's always the company that's like the software's not there. This is what we think we can do. Here's our total addressable market. Here's who we think we can go after. You know, you always see those decks but they don't have any customers. You have no customers. We don't know if there is a market for your product yet. You know, we can kind of speculate if there would be, but, you know, you got to find 10 or 12 of those companies to invest in and hope one of them actually makes it out.
Right. Right. And there's also synergies too. You could find, you know, two of them and maybe put them together and you've got something even larger.
Yeah. That's a private equity move right there. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. So yeah, and maybe even for you guys, maybe monster.com or somebody comes along and says, hey, we don't want to have to compete with these guys, or one of these big ATSs come through and say, why don't we just incorporate this? They're already working with ours. And then we get data from other ATSs even that we can maybe incorporate.
Yeah, we've actually have worked with other software organizations in the HR space where we partner with them and we're their analytics solution. So instead of them building out an analytics reporting solution, you know, they may have already the greatest transactional based processing, whatever it might be, whether it's learning, whether it's performance, whether it's reward and recognition, and they need that additional analytics and reporting on top of it. We can fit right in. We can brand to as if it was part of their solution. And we have that for a couple clients that we work with.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Keith, man, this is awesome. Tell people how they can reach out to you, how they can reach out to Zeroed In, and who are you looking for specifically?
Right. So, well, first of all, anyone that is interested in this topic, interested either in HR or analytics, we'd love to talk to you, love to carry on the conversation. I can be reached through my LinkedIn, which is Keith A. Good. And the company, our website is zeroedin.com. So you can reach us there as well. And again, anyone that might be interested in taking this a step further, we'd love to have a conversation with them, whether it's partnership, whether it's, hey, we need to solve some problems within our organization around people, and we think data and analytics could help. Love to carry that conversation on.
Awesome, Keith. Well, I appreciate you coming on, sharing a little insight about from a successful software company and how all that worked out for you guys. And it sounds like you guys are kicking butt. You got some great clients. I'm looking at your website. I mean, it's impressive. Yeah. Government clients, private clients. I mean, this is really impressive. And I love talking to people like you who've actually done it, who've actually grown something and built something, because, you know, you are the people that we want to bring on to inspire other people to do something similar and really change your life and then affect the lives of other people, that not just the companies that you're going to improve, but the people that work for those companies. When they become more efficient, they make more money, they help out their employees, they take care of their employees. So, I mean, it spreads far and wide.
Right. It does. That's just, you nailed it. Thank you. And Adam, thanks for your time today. Definitely appreciate it. I hope your audience gets something out of it and can take some value away from it, because that's what it's all about.
It is what it's all about. Keith, I really appreciate your time today, and good luck with everything.
Thank you. You too, Adam.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Side Hustle City. Well, you've heard from our guests. Now let's hear from you. Join our community on Facebook, Side Hustle City. It's a group where people share ideas, share their inspirational stories, and motivate each other to be successful and turn their side hustle into their main hustle. We'll see you there, and we'll see you next week on the show. Thank you.